Dice Dice Podcast, where we discuss Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay 3rd Edition. With me tonight is Chris Wagner.
Hey.
Layla Miranova.
Hello.
Dave Schwartz.
Hello.
And Nate Denny.
Yep. Hi.
I always forget how to pronounce it because it's written, so it's like, yeah, I want to have all sorts of extra vowels in there. We are tonight going to be discussing a recap of the Harrower of Thanes adventure, which we just finished. Let's kick it right off. We just did the epilogue. Everybody got home, was rewarded thoroughly, and we all leveled up. Got quite a few experience because I don't think anybody had spent any for quite some time. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think of the adventure as a whole?
I thought it was pretty fun. I would say that it was shorter than I expected. I don't know why. I just assumed that it was going to be, I don't know, I guess maybe that the hold itself was going to be more substantial. It seemed like we sort of booked it right through there. So that would be the only thing I would say is sort of, I think, different than my expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay with me too.
A little bit, like a lot of trouble to get there, treachery and confusion and great accents and to get to the hold. And then it was, you know, like...
not to say
similar.
It wasn't epic, but it was short.
Shorter.
You know, it wasn't
a letdown, but it just seemed like once we got in there, expected more to happen. Or
I thought there would be more, like,
it was too easy
things to... in the different rooms, or like the different rooms may have posed more of a problem, or there was more history to the particular hold than there ended up being.
Yeah. As far as the events that happened in the hold, you know, finding additional captives, the green skin invasion, and then the big bad guy at the end, I think that all met my expectations, but I just didn't have a sense of vastness that was the dwarven hold.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a dwarven cottage.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's actually an interesting point. To the story's credit, or how it was structured, it's not meant to be a vast hold. It was meant to be, for those of you familiar with some of the more maybe esoteric dwarven lore, Karak-Hirn, which is called the Horn Hold, is a very prominent dwarven monument where they have this full-blown sounding warning device, which can, like a signal fire, except audio, can warn all the holds of an impending invasion. This, like any dwarven fashion, this whole Karak-Dronar was built as a test to see if they could pull it off for Karak-Hirn when it was built. Mm. So this one was meant to be a smaller scale. A lot of that wasn't really... it was written into kind of the lore of the adventure. It wasn't really meant to be found out through through the adventure itself, but just to give it some context.
Right.
But, that was kind of the idea. And then, of course, the dragon ogre had... taking everybody who was there out when he was looking for a cave to sleep in, and it's remained then as he went to sleep, it's remained empty ever since. And then at some point in the future, a couple of goblins came in and had some fun.
So were the goblins trying to raise the ogre thing?
So the goblins have a funny little story to go with them, which I don't really know how it would properly get vetted out in the way the adventure is written, but I'll kind of, basically there's a goblin shaman and his crew. And for whatever reason, this goblin has lost his voice. He's no longer able to cast spells because goblin spellcasting requires screaming and chanting and all sorts of other flatulence and other things to get the attention of Gork and Mork to give him the power to cast spells. So he's really concerned about this. He goes to this horn hold thinking that if he can scream loud enough and long enough, Gork and Mork will restore his voice and he can then cast spells again. So as you guys arrive at the hold... the sound starts happening. That's the goblin inside, bellowing his lungs out, trying to restore his voice. As you go through the hold, there's an event tracker. As you guys kind of dilly-dally in some rooms or speed up in others, there's depending on how far and how quickly you make it to him at the end, determines how much of his voice has been restored, which thus determines how many spells I get at the end to access to fight with. And then, of course, all that sound is what wakes up the dragon ogre, who's been happily sleeping for probably thousands of years. And he's like, well, hey, what the heck? Of course, you know, at some appropriately climactic moment where he tries to smash all you guys.
So the dragon ogre had nothing to do with the goblins. He just was there coincidentally.
He was there just trying to sleep. That's all they really like to do until something wakes him up.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning storms they're a big fan of, but otherwise he he was happily sleeping and the goblins happened to mess up everybody's day.
So he was just a grumpy dude who got woken up and then we killed him.
Yeah. And quite frankly, all he wanted to do was sleep, and that's all his goal was to get you guys out of his sleeping area. And the adventure was an interesting one. In the hold itself, there were a lot of tools to handle that combat.
Yeah, I figured that Smasher was one of them.
The Smasher, I mean, that was like a glaring one, of course, but there were a lot of other subtle ones that you could use, and even some hidden ones written in for the GM to kind of help you out with, kind of given the right scenario.
For the GM to help.
Had you just run straight for the door, I was instructed only to have him follow you to the door, at which point he says, all right, I can go back to bed now. Or, you know, there's a lot of ways to slow him down, a lot of ways. They tried to encourage you to use, you know, the bonfire, the dwarven ancestral monuments, or the stomper, or any other manner of tools to, and even some you didn't discover, to aid you in that combat. As I think it was meant to be like a moving combat where you're like chasing out, but you guys decided
on the event that your party didn't include a slayer.
Yeah, we don't do right. Subtle, we just kind of go for it.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because the whole point, because you have a slayer, almost prevents you from having a mobile combat.
Yeah, well, at least
because for you, because unless they want to
throw me or something, yeah. Like if he'd thrown me that way, yeah. You know, then he could have pursued the rest of the combat. But otherwise,
we could have convinced you not to kill us along with you. But also, two of us were trapped in the room, yeah. And then, you know, Lego's character was outside, so then we're kind of
actually. That's what I was hoping on some level you guys would begin running, because I wanted to. I was trying to encourage that movement out of that room.
I was very close to running.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I know. Yeah, you were.
I mean, if they had all perished, I would have booked it. One, like, I'm not going to finish this guy off.
One hit and I was going to be dead. Yeah. These guys were out too, so. Yeah.
That's where I put some of you guys on one side of him to encourage you guys to draw him away from him or something. It didn't quite work out.
Oh, that didn't occur to me. But hey, come after me. Wait a minute. I don't do that.
Right.
I mean, I thought that was a suitably epic. Mm. Epic battle.
It was.
I was relishing the opportunity to really cause some damage, and I think I was very satisfied with causing damage and subconsciously slaying some people without actually doing it.
So had we not killed the shaman and allowed him to continue being alive, like, would he have done anything further to us?
You know, I think it's pretty much written as, I think it's pretty hard not to engage combat with him at that point. He's cornered. I'm instructed for him to flee at the earliest possibility of him not living, mm-hmm. or the downfall of his little group. But you guys had him very, very cornered, and he was pretty much slain, I think, with one throw of the spear from Helga.
The trident,
yes. The bog, let's call it what it is, the bog octopus trident. Yes. Exceptional quality.
Mm-hmm.
So I think combat with him was inevitable one way or the other. His little henchmen were going to stop you to prolong his chanting until he became back to full power, at which point then they'd just try and protect themselves.
Yeah.
But they were cornered. They weren't going anywhere.
So was there, dying like flies.
Were there any characters that we missed?
There were a handful. The adventure is set up very linearly, unlike some of the other ones we played. This one was the most linear of all the ones we've seen. Where really you start at Karak Azraz, then you pretty much skip the whole section between that and Grenstadt, where you just travel, and they pay for all your expenses, so they set it up that you can just go from point A to point B with as little or as much role-playing as you want.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one guy you meet on the road, the Sayer of Doom, who's really just there for fun. There's no real context.
I forgot all about
him. Yeah, he was a forgettable moment, and I didn't think there was a lot of content. It's like one paragraph. You meet this guy. He has this little chant of bad things happening, and you move on. Maybe it's just there for Warhammer.
So
flavor.
Nothing was supposed to.
No,
oh.
It was. I think it was just there for flavor. It's sometimes fun to throw some things on the. Definitely, it's fun to throw things into the adventure just to show the world of, you know, hey, periodically you meet doomsayers.
And yeah,
that's. I think that's maybe all it was. When you arrive at Grenstadt, there's the penny tax, you know, and there's meant to be this kind of, it's only meant just to be irritating. Like, it's meant to be there just enough to cause you that extra little trouble to remember to pay it. And it's supposed to give you that impression that you've got this goofball of a leader, of the a mayor of the town who is trying to, you know, stretch his dollars or to, you know, fill his coffers, and nobody really likes it. He's got this system set up to collect orc ears so he can kind of fill the coffers as well. I mean, he's got a big responsibility being the lord of this town, but at the same time, he's like just about every noble kind of a failure in a lot of ways.
I was thinking the adventure would do more with him just because he did get set up so, like, I don't know. He's so quirky and...
You know, honestly, we probably played him up more than the adventure wrote it because we were having fun with it. I think...
In the end, though, when he was asking about the Dwarven Hold, I mean, like, what would have been the path, the other path, if we had indulged him and told him?
So, okay, so the follow-up section on the adventure, he does effectively force you guys to come back and talk to him, either willingly, like you guys did. The guards who meet you at the gate will force you under almost like arrest to go back and talk to him as well.
That would have gone well.
Yeah, I bet it
would. I really wanted to get into combat with them. Like, I really wanted you to kick some
And
butt.
You just think we're bloodthirsty. Jeez.
I mean, basically, you got to figure from his perspective, he sees you guys come through and he gets rumors from the town that you guys have this ancestral thing and you guys are going to look for some dwarven hold that he doesn't know exists. This is exciting news to him. Maybe there's loot, maybe there's other stuff, but either way, this is big news for him. He then wants to improve his station, is hoping to learn the location, and then he wants to send an expedition out on his own to recover whatever he can get from it. So that was his goal in that scenario. And like any good players, you did not allow him to have that. But you can also assume now that you've left, and Helga right at the beginning acknowledged that there was an ancestral Warhammer and a Dwarven Hold just outside his doorstep. You guys can safely assume he's going to keep looking for it, and you know, one point might find it. Who knows? We can use that as a plot seed later. And also you left on bad terms, so next time anybody has to go through Blackfire Pass, he's not your best friend anymore. So that could be a fun reoccurring
really
character.
Helga really wished she could write at that.
Work out really well for him, I'm sure, when a bunch of dwarves show up to, like, reclaim it. There's a bunch of his guys
in
there.
It's great. I mean, there's a lot of fun things that can happen there. Yeah. That'll be really good. But regarding characters that may have been missed, the only part where the adventure really derailed... There's two parts. One, there's an optional side encounter that we didn't do when you first meet Hans Blitzer at the inn. There's the potential to be very suspicious of him at that point. If anybody follows him after that encounter, like after everybody goes to bed, he leaves. He goes to another inn and sits down and talks to one of this gal. And this gal, they talk a bit, and then he leaves and goes home. So you, if you had made that follow, you would recognize the gal he talked with as the gal who was tied up in one of the rooms. So she was one of his bandit cronies. He's saying, "Hey, look, we've got a new mark tomorrow. Let's get everybody set up." And then you proceed along the adventure. At which point, he then one at a time assembles his mob crew under the pretense of them all being strangers, and then ultimately jumps you when he gets as many of them together as possible. Now, you guys, of course, triggered that.
Pretty much derailed that one.
Yeah,
and it was fun. I was really curious. I was trying to hold it together as long as I could, and I'm like, dude, this thing's out of the bag as soon as I start talking. It just seems obvious, but I think it worked for a little while, and then.
Well, Helga's particularly suspicious as it is.
Right.
She trusts no one, and she prefers talking to killing things, so it was the perfect opportunity to avoid battle.
Fortunately, I thought that encounter worked out.
Yeah, I thought it was
a lot of fun.
Cool.
I mean, you guys took him prisoner, which I thought was hysterical. I wasn't counting on that
he
at all.
He broke his thumb, which I thought was really
one of them, like, I break his thumb, he passes out.
He was at his big threshold, yeah.
That was awesome.
So the idea was then he would assemble all of his crew, and upon arriving at the base of Carrag Dronar, he would set up camp for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And during that evening, because he would suggest, "Hey, we shouldn't go in here yet. It's too dark. Let's wait till the morning." When he arrives there, he notices that two of his compatriots are gone. The girl and the dude that was with her, they're already captives inside. The goblins captured him. So he's like, "Well, I'm short too. I think we can still pull this off." at night, they'll offer to take first watch. You guys all go to sleep, and then they attempt to steal your weapons and then murder you or something. At which point, you guys are given a bunch of rolls and the opportunity to wake up and defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how that should have shaken down. Then when you go inside, you recognize then these other two people. Mm-hmm. They say, hey, we're totally innocent. Okay, fine, you caught us. We are thugs, but let us go. We'll help you, or we'll turn our lives around. They plead for their lives and try and run.
Mm-hmm.
So... you know, not a lot of missed opportunities, but you could see very how linear it was.
Yeah.
Very linear.
Kill the big bad guy, then go back home.
Right.
I mean, it's relatively easy to run in that respect, but it's like, you know, finish one encounter, go on the next.
Yeah.
I like that we're building a league of evil out there that has jilted bounty hunters and Nurgle guys running around
guys. So what NPCs did we add? We added Theodosius von Tüchtenhagen, who I think will be a fun character to bring back at some point. We've added Hans Blitzer, who is still alive. He managed to escape and a couple of his cronies.
Yeah. I was going to set the hammer off on the way out.
Yeah, did you guys kill... All you killed was the dwarf.
The two that ran away... Oh, and the merchant son, the guy that was posing as the merchant son, the fop.
Okay, yeah. So the fop and the dwarf were the only two that were
Hans
right?
Blitzer, the two that were outside the Carrick, and the two that were locked up in the Carrick, yep. And then the fop.
So Hans and his crew are still fully intact, minus one or two guys. They're going to keep running their racket probably in Grenshot.
I'm pretty sure they don't want to mess with us.
You guys also managed to get some good friends in Carrick Asgaras. So yeah. You guys now are friends with the nobility of Carrick Asgaras for sure. You guys are heroes there. And your characters are sufficient rank to kind of be walking around like stone-cold pimps.
Helga's got a bear now.
Helga got a bear.
Which I really didn't. For a while I was like, I don't know if this is going to happen or not.
Well, I mean, Grom certainly was like, dude, what's happening here?
Yeah,
I was a little
What are you doing?
There?
Because we definitely did not discuss this as players ahead of time as something that was going to happen.
No.
So I
was obviously starting to pick up on the fact that you wanted the bear, but
right.
I'm still sitting there going, wait, this is a phenomenally bad idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I was kind of glad you guys didn't just, like, indulge me right away and were like, okay, take the bear. I was like, for a couple of moments, I was like, I don't know how to argue my way out of this because, honestly, what am I going to do with a bear? I don't know.
Baredon has this kind of a grudge of a grudge. He's got this pigeon on his shoulder that he just ignores, right? He's like,
but
he doesn't like that it's there,
but
it's constantly there, and now the goat... ignoring the goat, and now there's the bear. It's like, how many things am I going to have to ignore?
I love the comment where somebody said, don't we already have a circus? You know?
I was like,
the dwarf and
I
the
do.
Goat and the pigeon and the guy in the, you know, sled.
I mean, I got the chance to do another accent. I was really happy about that.
That was great. I thought...
I'm enjoying the
yes.
accent.
I am too. I'm having more fun with the full interactive dialogue. That's something I've been very apprehensive about for a long time. I think Theodosius was a breaking moment.
Especially
I thought
the
you did
the
him
list.
Very well,
or
too.
ACD. It's absolutely
I think,
great.
Cool. I'm glad. Thank you. I've been having more fun with it as I've been doing him. I'm gearing up to play Stone Paunch. You know, Stone Paunch will also be pseudo-Russian, so I'll get to do more of that.
Yeah.
So what was this backstory behind the hammer and the gold mug?
Okay, I was...
Seems like
the
there
gold
was a,
mug.
There was a
oh,
spot
the,
for a goblet, a golden... Or a mug.
So the burial chamber inside had five lords of the deep...
Mm-hmm.
And room for a whole bunch more because they were obviously planning this place to last a whole lot longer than it did. Each of the ones who had died prior to the one you dropped off had a element of their reign or something that was iconic of them, you know, as a token on their burial. So one guy had like a elven arrowhead, one guy had a beer. So the hammer was the iconic element of Stromnir, who was the original owner of the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones, I think one guy drank himself to death or something, and that was the mug. And I think that one, to not make it too straightforward, that one had been looted at some point.
Yeah,
I think it was missing. I think it was as simple as that.
Okay.
But I did find in the adventure that the actual story and history and reasoning behind the hammer was really difficult for players to gain access to.
Mm-hmm.
Where the actual outside of just return ancestral hammer to resting place, it was very difficult to have an opportunity to convey any more information than
right.
that.
We're going
to
talk to the goblins.
Well, that's right. Where the lore master kind of came in a little bit. Right?
Yeah, he did come in, and it was having read this four times or so now, I still have no idea what these legends and stuff, and how they actually tie in to each other to actually make an interesting story to convey to you guys, which is why I kind of just kind of kept it reasonably high level. There's like this legend of these storm riders who ultimately betrayed and slew the original owner of the hammer and stole it. Somebody, another dwarf, recovered it, which was the guy you guys met. Mm-hmm. You were to return it. But the Storm Rider legend that they spend a lot of time illustrating at the beginning here seems to have no other purpose. It doesn't come in ever again. It doesn't.
Who were the Storm Riders? Humans? Or?
Yeah, there's some humans.
Maybe to foreshadow the betrayal of the humans or something.
You know, it must be. It felt really shallow. It felt like they had a bunch of meat setting something up at the beginning and then never executed it at the end.
No payoff.
So that's why I kind of glanced over it, because it felt like it just confused you guys even more.
Especially for a non-dwarf. As a dwarf, that's all I needed, was a dying dwarf to make the request of me, and I'll fulfill that, you know, absolutely. But, you know, if it was a bunch of humans, it'd be, why am I returning this?
I mean, the 10 gold, that's a humongous reward, and that's written in here, 10 gold per player, and all your expenses are covered. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 50 or 40 gold worth of stuff for you guys. So for the dwarves, I opted for the more dwarf-like reward to give you guys some actual items instead of... Mm-hmm. And I felt that was more appropriate. And you guys are getting up there. I felt it's time to have some items to kind of roll with.
A little juice.
As far as a dwarf adventure, I thought it was a lot of fun. It gave a good chance to touch in on dwarf culture a lot. I mean, it's exclusively about dwarves, with the exception of the minor stop in Grenstadt. There was one character that you guys missed, sort of, which I also felt was kind of unnecessary, so I kind of glanced over him. Grom Broxson, who was the apprentice lore master, he is supposed to be the hothead in the meeting at the beginning where you plan what to do. And at some point, if he ever felt that you guys weren't going to do the honorable thing, he's supposed to kind of shadow and follow you guys, mm-hmm. and cause and potentially show up some point and force you to do, or encourage you to do what you should do. Fortunately, we had three dwarves who wanted to do what dwarves wanted them to do. However, there were several poorly written, I thought, opportunities for him to show up again later in the adventure. I think you're supposed to have the impression that he's been following you for a while and ignore him, or not. I don't know how you would have him feel like he was following you without you guys feeling compelled to turn around and say, what's up?
Yeah, we would have weeded him out had there been any...
Well, I mean, he's like all following you around.
One of you.
Which makes the rest of this completely moot.
Right.
Because...
We would have been like, why are you here?
So I struggled with how that was written.
Although there was that scene where I was... After we had returned the axe or whatever it was, and Helga was like, why are we returning this? Isn't someone going
to
steal it?
So I want to... Let's hold that point, because I want to go back to that right there, because I think that's a huge plot flaw in the adventure. At one point, as you guys are returning from the deep to Grenstadt, you're supposed to encounter where you met the first dwarf originally, mm-hmm. the bandit dwarf. You're supposed to see this Grom Broxson slain there. And it's like, well, why? I mean, you've never met him before. Why is he dead?
It's another random dead dwarf.
Yeah, it seemed like whatever was... There was no incentive that I could convey elegantly with the way you guys were acting to have him follow you. There's no reason for him to be upset at you. Right. Why is he there?
Why should he die?
Why should he die?
I think he's the GM tool to just put the adventure back on track if the party is getting completely... derailed, or just decided to put the hammer in their pocket and get on a boat or something.
Yeah, maybe.
That's odd.
Or I mean, maybe you see him dead and gives you an additional reason to return to Carrick Asgaras to maybe report that he was slain.
Right.
That's not a bad idea, actually. It certainly gives you the incentive to return home if the money wasn't enough.
Or like you said, a GM tool in play.
Yeah.
As opposed to nothing, right?
It just gives you some leverage, some stick to sort of put him back on the trail and go that way.
I mean, okay, I guess that's not a bad idea. I mean, I don't feel that we needed it, so he didn't really show up outside of being mentioned at the beginning. But back to your point of the actual mission itself.
Mm-hmm.
Take hammer, return to resting place, come home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was occupied by goblins the first time.
Yeah, it's just gonna... There's no way to lock it. It's just gonna get stolen all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I mean, that was part of the reason why Grom was sort of like, don't we want to like stay here and clean this place up? Because I was thinking maybe we could have like fixed up the locks or something and like, you know, cleaned up the shrine, left the place locked so that we could go get a dwarven entourage to send them there to reoccupy the place. Mm-hmm. But
I think you're, yeah, that part felt awkward to me. I felt like, okay, well, we've cleaned the place out. What's to stop goblins from coming back in? Absolutely nothing. What's to stop bandits from coming in and looting it? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You know, God, maybe Hans is going to go in there and steal it now that the actual threat is gone. The threat wasn't the goblins. It was the dragon ogre.
Right.
But, I mean, I think it's probably safe to assume that now that the goblins are gone,
there's still the threat of the thing because nobody other than us knows he's dead.
Actually, that's very true.
So, do you want to go find out? I don't know.
Back to town beat up. So
maybe we just got our butt kicked and
left. You guys did relay the story to Theodosius.
We did, but I'm just saying maybe Hans doesn't know that and other orcs
and
stuff
certainly
in the past.
Not
going
to be somebody who talks to Theodosius if he's trying to
or to stick his
low.
Head in there.
Yeah, I mean, of course that's all a reach, but I'm just saying that there may be other reasons not to go in the big scary bear cave.
I think it's safe to assume now that the dwarves know it's clear, the next party they send there is going to deal with whatever's in there, no problem. Because the worst case scenario, it's goblins.
And they're going to move in at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
They're coming fully equipped.
Mm-hmm.
So, final thoughts? Let's go, Verdon. Final thoughts on the adventure?
I liked it. I liked the interaction from the dwarven perspective and kind of building those dwarven allies. You know, the treachery, continual treachery by human people is becoming standard fare, but... You know, I think I got some good character development there, and explore a little bit more into the.
I'm enjoying that we can go places now. Like Karak Asgaraz, we've gone to a couple times now, and we can now talk to people we know.
Mm-hmm.
That's getting kind of cool because we've been to a few places now multiple times, and those characters are we have a reputation now at a few different places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the other end of Blackfire Pass, I think is the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Right when we first came in, so we're starting to become familiar.
King loves her.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right. Was that our first adventure?
Yes.
Yeah. Back, we come full circle.
You guys love me.
Dave, Thorin, how did it... What'd you think?
It was okay for me. I don't know if it was my favorite. Maybe because of the linearity of it. I think some of the other adventures stood out more in... had more depth in the story, but also in the puzzle solving and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like when we were in the town that had... the pox or something going on.
It took us, yeah,
and so it took us a while to figure out what the problems were and who was causing what and things like that. This one didn't have that kind of...
Yeah, definitely. This was as close to a standard dungeon romp as it can get, I think.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I wanted to try this adventure, because I thought maybe it's linear, which means in theory it could be not too difficult to run, but also it offers the most straightforward combat from room to room. This is the closest thing to a Dungeons & Dragons version of a dungeon romp in Warhammer that they've published so far in third edition. And I think it falls short because of that.
Now, did the... each of these adventures or modules that we've been playing, as in other role-playing games, do any of these pertain to experience level?
Yeah, good question. This one is geared towards tier 2 characters, so characters between like 10 and 20 experience points, which is where most of us were, some of us on the upper end of that scale at the beginning of this adventure. So this thing was pretty accurately tiered towards your guys' party.
Okay.
You guys were meant to get beaten up a little bit by the orcs at the beginning, and then already being wounded and hurt, beset by the bandits. So that's why they were going to try and hold back and let you guys get softened up a bit before they attack you. So the two major combats that are supposed to encounter are the bandit one and the big guy at the end with the goblin. That's all kind of one combat. Obviously, though, the dragon ogre is the hardest of the group. And he's... frankly, I'm surprised you guys did as well as you did holding your ground the whole time, because he was a seriously heavy hitter.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
I mean, you guys were very close. I gave you guys a couple of carrots, like especially for Grom, where he had a good he really had a good reason to tell me why he could come back and like make that one last strike. And it seemed so cinematic and appropriate. I could not do it.
And I mean, I appreciate that, and I'll just say that it was frustrating to me that I don't mind, as a Slayer, that character dying. You know, it's like I like Grom and everything, but eventually I either need to redeem him or die fighting, so I'm okay with that. What was frustrating was that I got knocked out, but that played so directly to my backstory that I thought I got a good reason to pitch the get up.
I love, you know, I loved it. I think it created such a cinematic, like you could see it happening so easily, where, you know, he blinks once and you know, pushes himself back up and says, you know, if I'm going, you're coming with me. And then it just kind of works. And then he passes out, and it was just, it was comical. It was good. I really enjoyed that.
It was a good play. And again, it's like, if he had cut me down, I would have been fine with that. It's like, if I died standing one more blow and I had one wound left and he cut me in half, okay, you know, that sucks that Grom's dead, but at least he died as a Slayer. Totally. And he died to an appropriate critter. You know, it's like, that's my worst fear for this guy.
Like, by far, that was the biggest creature.
Kill me, you know, like with a goblin or something. And it's just like, that's just dreadful to me that this Slayer would go out that way, but because of a couple rolls of the dice.
Well, I mean, we barely even rolled combat for the Snotlings and Night Goblins as you were waltzing through. I mean, literally, each of those could be slain in one hit by Grom. And most other characters in the group, no problem. So those became almost just storyline combats, which is interesting because that indicates your characters are becoming more powerful than the trivial creatures. They become just combat encounters, combat bumps. Social encounters.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I walked in with like I think 5 or 6 wounds from the orc fight.
Mm-hmm.
The goblin lit me up pretty good, the shaman.
Yes, I finally got to use goblin. I got to use magic.
The goblin racked me up pretty bad, and then one hit from the dragon ogre dropped me to unconscious. And that was where I was just like, oh, come on! You know, either kill me or let me stand on my feet. You know, that was the rats. I want to die knocked out.
Helga, what do you think?
I do agree that it was pretty. Yeah, it was pretty linear. I enjoyed the epic battle at the end with the ogre. Although, in retrospect, now that I've thought about the adventure, my only problem now with him is that he really had nothing much to do with anything. Like, he didn't really warrant our hostility, and the only reason that we were hostile towards him is, one, because the Slayer wanted to slay, but also because...
Well, he was a grumpy goat because he was...
Well, but I feel like... Like, you're expected to just go after him, but really, there's no real good reason. I mean, he's the only reason he's grumpy is because he's been woken, and we should have just walked out of there, and he would have been fine.
Well, quite frankly, I think the reaction that the adventurer is hoping you'll take is fight or run.
Right.
And I think either works, depending on it, or a combination of that. And I guess
he becomes less epic in my mind because he's not tied into the actual storyline. Like, he's not a cult anything.
There's no build-up. You don't know he's coming until all of a sudden here's giant creature that you get to fight.
Right.
Which is awesome in itself. I get, not tied in.
But,
not like the beast or something.
The circus in the last adventure. Like, he's not any sort of threat beyond just being huge and angry.
But it is one of those things that Grom would have turned right back around and stomped back in there to fight him just for the sake of fighting him.
You know, the only seeding to that creature, which I think maybe if I were ever to run this again, would be to rely more on the mysterious thing that has killed everybody there to begin with. I should have played that up more, that something drove the orcs out, or the dwarves out.
Well, and I was trying to at least pique curiosity when I mentioned that I had read the stone and kind of held back a little bit, but...
That was, I guess, the second opportunity for that to be mentioned. The first one would be it's empty to begin with. Yeah. Why? And then the second one was something big cast everybody out, but it does. I think that needs to be more heavy hit in that something else is here.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to arrive, and there's this huge booming voice, and you go in, and you're like, it's a goblin. Well, that's easy. Smack, smack, smack. And then kaboom is, I think, how it's
I think there needs to be more build-up, and there needs to be more importance, I think, placed on the ogre within the story.
Mm.
But the rest of the social encounters were fine. I got a bear.
Well, yeah, the other thing I was going to say, too...
Which was not part of the adventure.
I was going to say, I didn't know that because you had foreshadowed the circus thing weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was some part of the backstory, that there was some link to one of these other characters. I didn't realize you were just essentially setting Layla up to get her bear.
Yeah, Layla wanted a bear/mount, And so we decided, like, okay, well, let's try and work a bear into the story somehow.
Yeah, and so as we get to the end, that's why I was in particular going, why are we trying to take the circus master's bear? This
right.
seems like such a bad idea.
I was just trying to make it a little more exciting than just buying a horse.
Yeah, right.
Because for Kids Love, the bear was appropriate.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
fun,
it was great.
And
it was as it revealed, and I became aware of what we were really doing. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Okay. I totally did enjoy, though, that, like, you came and just, like, smashed the lock and then just,
like whistling, la la la,
like,
crack.
All right.
I give
your
up.
Stupid bear, and I'm heading out.
Tried to give you a toy, I didn't do it.
Let's not forget the other NPC. We now have a rogue circus with a bear that was
stolen.
That's right. We have a Kids Loving Circus that
so now
may show up
with. Two rogue circuses out
there. Nice.
The bane of circuses around the old
Why are you guys afraid of clowns? Well, let me tell you.
Yeah. We're afraid of dwarves.
All right. Well, I think with that, we'll wrap it up for this episode of the Reckless Dice Podcast. Chris, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Layla, thank you. Dave, Nate.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank you.
Until next time, guys, thanks for listening.